Hello, and welcome to another one of Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Now, today I wanted to talk to you about, I don't quite have an absolute snappy little title for it, but about having an out-of-control sibling. I'll give you the background. Now, this was a family that I saw, it was kind of like family therapy. I do see kind of groups of people and they come and go. It's not always the same people that come, but just loosely we'll just call it family therapy. So there was a mum and dad and there were two daughters. We're called the oldest Allegra and the second one we're called Denise. And the reason that they come was Denise, the younger sister, she's youngest by about 18 months, something like that. But the reason that they come was because she had become out of control. That she was in her early 20s. Allegra and her were in their early 20s and Denise was doing the whole drug scene. She was doing the whole inappropriate boyfriend. She dropped out of school. She'd done everything possible to be that kind of archetypal problem teen that had gone into her early 20s. She had difficulty holding down jobs because what would happen was she'd get a job. She was a very bright person. She would get a job. She could talk herself into getting a job in a shop or in an office or something like that. But because she was out partying quite a few nights of the week, she never actually could get up early enough to go. So she'd ended up, you know, losing lots of jobs. She then kind of got evening-y jobs, bar jobs, things like that. But then that just kind of meant that she mixed with even more people that were, leading her astray. She didn't need much leading, but leading her astray. So the reason that they came was they knew that they had a difficulty with them. And it was actually their older daughter who was the one that had kind of wanted the family to come along. So they came along and, you know, as I say, I saw them in different kind of configurations. So you had all the problems that supposedly Denise was causing within the family. But what soon struck me was, because I like to get a background about everybody, but what soon struck me about the whole situation was that there were really distinct roles being performed here between the two sisters. And I often talk about roles, I often talk about scripts that people have between them, but this is specifically about the roles within the family. So Allegra was the perfect child. She was the, you know, the golden child. There was nothing wrong with her on paper because she'd been good at school, she'd attended to everything, she'd got really good grades, she'd gone off to a really good university, she'd got the perfect boyfriend, she'd gone then to get the perfect job. Everything was going swimmingly. She'd had that role. And often what will happen between siblings, and especially, I have said this before, but especially same-sex siblings, their roles are, you know, you have the first child and they get the good guy roles, you know, and think of Prince William like this, if you like. You know, I know Harry settled down a bit, but you think about him in his kind of earlier days and they're a really good example. You know, you literally, in their case, you get given the good role. So you're reliable. You're the one that's dependable. You're the one that's always there. You know, you are the one that gets the good roles. And the second child comes along and suddenly all the good guy roles or all the good girl roles have been taken. So what do you do? What do you do to be an individual in that situation? You kind of get the bad guy roles. You're the bad sheep of the family. And this is so typical of same-sex second children. It's a real, real typical thing. I've seen it absolutely thousands of times. So what happened was Denise was born. She kind of realized that all the good guy roles or the good girl roles had been taken. So she then, you know, became the archetypal bad girl to get attention, because essentially that's what children need. It's a very kind of basic property that we're all born with. If you don't get attention, then you don't survive. Obviously, in this day and age, you do, but it's a very kind of very basic kind of, you know, paleo reflex that we have. We have to have attention, so, and we survive. So what happened was we kind of explored it. Allegra would come to every single session. Denise would kind of dip in and out. And what happened was I spoke to the mum and dad and I wanted to get a little bit of their background. And what happened was that their mum had been exactly the same. She was the older of two sisters. Again, she'd done all the right things. She'd gone to the right university. She'd studied hard. She'd met their dad, etc., etc., got a good job. And their dad was an only child. And he was what I kind of, you know, in term as being sort of like a project child. So all the attention had gone on to him. He'd been, to begin with, he'd been homeschooled, and you know, he was, you know, a child genius as far as his parents were concerned. And then he dipped into secondary school, I think, but then because it wasn't quite suiting him, because as far as they were concerned, he was too good for them, he got pulled out, and he got further home educating. And then I think he kind of went somewhere, you know, he realised he needed to be a bit more social, so he went somewhere to do his sixth form, and then went on to university. You know, and these weren't bad people. Their mum and dad weren't bad people. What they were, they were just kind of very blinkered and very sheltered people, because they couldn't relate to suddenly somebody close in their life, somebody important in their life, being different from the norm. The mum and dad had been the same. Allegra had been the same as the mum and dad. And then suddenly this kind of, as they described, whirlwind of a child. And to be honest, when I got some information about what she was like growing up, yeah, she had a kind of attention-seeking streak, but it wasn't huge. It wasn't overly, you know, it wasn't pathological by any means. It was just that case of, well, if I don't get noticed, then I don't, you know, who am I? And that had developed, and she kind of played into that, because it was more fun to go out partying than it would be to sit studying. So that had developed with Denise over the years. So what we did, again, over some time, this is kind of a period of over some time, what we did was I tried to start getting the mum and dad to really, not as a together thing, because I think that would have been a bit, probably cringy, to be perfectly honest, for Denise, but just as a single thing, it would be dad one moment, it would be mum the next, to just focus on her, do stuff that she liked to do. Obviously, they weren't going to go out partying and you know, doing all sorts of things like that, but to just start paying attention to her, not both of them, which has always been the way, but just her. Find out what her interests were, genuinely find out what kind of things interested her. And what happened was, it was interesting, what happened was, it also happened quite quickly, that she actually started to respond to that, and they could have conversations that didn't involve Allegra. And Allegra soon didn't like this, because actually she felt that Denise was then encroaching on her role as being the good girl. She wasn't. She was just being herself, but she was being herself without all the, you know, the bells and whistles of the bad behaviour, the drugs, the boyfriends, whatever. And there was a little bit of subtle, but not so subtle that it wasn't noticed. And, you know, I'd spoken to mum and dad about this as well. Sabotage. So you had Allegra now starting to try and put Denise down a bit, to try and engineer situations where, you know, that she would come off bad, you know, that Denise would look bad or be put in a position where she would all be back to her old self type thing. But it was something that I'd spoken to the mum and dad about right from the beginning. Of course, when it was first suggested, no, they couldn't believe that their, you know, their golden older child would ever do such a thing. But when she started to actually do that, and she would never actually kind of misbehave in a way that Denise had done herself, but she was misbehaving in her way to kind of get back the status quo that for over 20 years she had enjoyed the benefits from. So she would do things like, there was an incident where, I don't know, they'd arranged to meet or something, and she'd purposely told Denise a different time, you know, they'd gone out for lunch or something, you were going to meet for lunch, and she'd purposely told Denise a different time. So of course she turned up at, say, 2 o'clock when the lunch booking was for one. And, you know, of course she was then saying, oh, typical Denise, you know, she's got something else far more interesting to do than be with us, da 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 da. And the actual, and rather than the mum and dad just instantly going, oh, you know, typical Denise, she's late and studying, they explored that with her, and they genuinely believed that Allegra had actually said it had been a different time. And when they challenged Allegra on this, of course it was, well, you know, confusing, and she kind of backed out of it, but it was a lesson that she learned, that she couldn't do that. So in the end, what we kind of decided, that, you know, they were different children, of course, and mum and dad had to accept that, and they had to play to their strengths and recognize both of their children's weaknesses, and, you know, not necessarily ask them to do anything completely different, but they had to change their attitude. Mum and dad had to change their attitude to both of their children, even if the oldest one didn't like it, which she clearly didn't. And it ended that, yeah, Denise's behavior, because she wasn't you know, she was still kind of going out, having fun, but she, you know, she settled. Because once she started getting a little bit of attention and interest, not just attention, but interest in her and what she had to offer, it settled down. She wasn't quite the wild, you know, massively party person that she'd been for so many years that was causing people trouble. And it did settle down, and she was able to start thinking about what she would like to do with her life. And it turned out one of the things that she'd really liked, Mum and Dad had absolutely no idea about this at all, was she wanted to become a vet. So obviously she'd missed out on all the schooling things, and they kind of started researching all the things that she needed to do. If she really wanted to do that, it would mean going to night school and redoing lots of exams and things. But because they were paying interest and attention to that, that helped her, knowing that she had their support and interest, that she actually started looking into that. So that's kind of, you know, where I left the family, that things were hopefully going an awful lot better for Denise, an awful lot better for the, you know, Mum and Dad and Denise. But, you know, the question mark was about Allegra. But she was just going to have to, I don't know, to use a technical term, she was having to suck it up. I have been Dr. Jane. You've just been listening to one of my 10-minute positive mental health podcasts. If you like what you've heard, go to my website, drjane.co.uk, and please subscribe so you can listen to the next podcast as it comes along. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I will speak to you again very, very soon.